Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church of Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and so glad that you have tuned in this morning to listen to the Word of God. And I'd like to go to Psalm 5 this morning to start out with. Psalm 5 and verse 3. Psalm 5 and verse 3, a Psalm of David. He writes, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly." Now, we know David was a young man after God's own heart, and certainly this sounds like something that he would write. But let me ask you, would that be something that you could say or something that you could write or sing? Do you come to the Lord in the morning? Does the Lord hear your voice in the morning, even early like this on Sunday morning, that we come before him and acknowledge him and ask him to bless our day, and that our day would be full of honoring his name, and that we bring our requests before him, requests for ourselves and requests for others, and all kinds of prayers for all kinds of people and places and circumstances and situations, and for the leaders of our country and for our churches, and on and on and on we go, that we need to know, or God needs to know, that he can hear from us first thing in the morning. And so let's start our broadcast by doing that this morning. Lord, we come to you and are so glad that you hear us, that you listen to us, that you are always there, that we never have to wonder if you're going to pick up the phone or you're going to be home. Lord, you are that good of a God that you can hear all of us instantaneously, anywhere, anytime. And with all kinds of prayers, Lord, we want to lift these things up to you, because we know you are a God who cares and a God of power who answers our prayers. And Lord, help us to look forward with great expectation to your answers. And when those answers come, when we recognize and see you working in our lives or in the lives of others, Lord, we want to praise you and thank you and be grateful to you, Lord, and that we would just continue to cast all our anxieties on you because you care about us. And that we bring all of these requests to you, Lord, because you are good and a powerful God whom we can trust and know has in mind what's best for us and others. And so would you bless our time here this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, before we turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, you can go ahead and do that. We're going to listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Hillsong called Cornerstone, kind of what we're going to be talking about in 1 Peter 2 as a kind of a reminder of last week, but the fact that Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation of our salvation. And so let's listen to Hillsong sing Cornerstone.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ.
Back this morning, and let's again, if you're not there already, 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's start in verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, as you come to him, the living stone, that's Jesus, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So, you know, again, we talked about that it's not a physical kingdom. It's not a kingdom that is literal temples and literal dwellings, but we are a spiritual house wherein God dwells by his Spirit, and he has made us to be a part of that home. And so now we offer spiritual sacrifices to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 13, and verse 15, Hebrews 13 and verse 15, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So, you know, again, we don't offer literal sacrifices of bulls and goats and calves and sheep and any of the other kind of sacrifices that they made under the first covenant. We bring a different kind of sacrifice, a sacrifice of praise, okay? Lips that are not full of obscenities and taking God's name in vain and lying and deceiving. We have lips that have been cleansed by the blood of Christ and are lips that praise him and openly profess his name. And we are a people that strive to do good, not evil. We've been studying in the Proverbs on Wednesday night, and so many times Solomon is warning his son, his children, to make sure that they do not follow the ways of the wicked, that they stay far from them, and that when sinners entice them, that they would say no, and that they would walk away from those things. And so we don't want to be a people that do evil, but we want to be a people that do good, and we share with others, and we encourage others, and we point people to Jesus, because with such sacrifices, God is pleased. It goes on to say, verse 6, for in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. I'm so glad that I can put my trust in Jesus. Sometimes it's hard to trust people. We need to do it because otherwise we won't have a very enjoyable life in this life. But sometimes people let you down. Sometimes people stab you in the back. Sometimes people don't hold up their end of the bargain. But I want to tell you that the one who trusts in Jesus will never be put to shame. He is able to deliver us. And then verse 9, dropping down to verse 9, we ended last week with this. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so, boy, we have a lot of things to be grateful and thankful about, don't we? And we have been left here, and we have been given the privilege of being able to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. And we can let people know that, hey, once we rejected God, but now we proclaim him. Once we had not received mercy, we were dead in our sins and transgressions. We had run away from God, if you would. But now, because God is merciful and compassionate, God pulled us out of that muck and mire, and he put our feet on solid ground, on a chosen, precious cornerstone, his own son. All right, let's go ahead and move on then in 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning. Remember that there's no chapter breaks or verse breaks in the actual original writings on scrolls and on parchments and vellums. Those things were all added later, which I'm glad for. It helps us to go to different places fairly quickly. But here in chapter 2 and verse 11, it's going to pick right up from where this is. This isn't like a totally different chapter that doesn't have anything to do with what came before. And so in verse 11, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, this is kind of in light of the fact that we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, and now we are the people of God, and now we have received mercy. So in light of that, Peter goes on and he writes, starting in verse 11, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us." So Peter's saying, listen, we're not just supposed to be the people of God in title, in thought, but we're to be that way in deed. And so here's the thing. Peter's saying, since God's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, then quit hanging out with the darkness. Quit living it up with the darkness. Don't give in to the darkness anymore. Abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Well, what's that talking about? Well, if you turn back to Romans chapter 8 with me, keep your finger there in 1 Peter 2, but go back to Romans 8. It goes on to say in verse 10 of Romans 8, "But if Christ is in you," in other words, when you responded to the gospel, when you listened to the fact that God loved you so much that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, and that through his shed blood that you can have life, when you're willing to accept that and repent of your sins and your relationship with God that you didn't have and say, hey, God, I want to follow you, then when we're baptized into Christ, God will raise us up to walk in newness of life and give us his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. And so verse 10 says, "But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is dead to sin or subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. In other words, hey, as a people that have been brought out of darkness to light, don't live according to the flesh anymore. Don't let it win the war. If you turn over to Galatians chapter 5, this also talks about what we're talking about here. He says in verse 13 of Galatians 5, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Now, friends, that's what the world does. That's not what God's people are supposed to do. And yet, guess what? We can do those things if we choose to. But the point is, why would we want to do that? We've come out of darkness into light. We've been given a new command that we would love one another and not try to take advantage of one another. And that's why he goes on to say in Galatians 5 and verse 16, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you're not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." In other words, we're not just to live in the moment. We're not supposed to just do it. And whatever comes along, we just follow after it. We're supposed to think. We're supposed to be sober. We're supposed to realize, hey, we belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's brought us into light. And yet, there's still going to be a struggle with sin. There's still going to be sinful desires that wage against our soul. Things that you got caught up in, things that are around you in the world. The Bible says that there is a passing pleasure to sin. And so it's easy to get caught up in things, or maybe jealousy or rage or fits of temper or boy, the list just goes on and on. But Peter says, listen, since we're foreigners and exiles in this world now, even though we still live in it, our citizenship is in heaven. And so he says, I urge you to abstain from them which wage war. So abstain, that means don't have anything to do with it. Okay? The Bible talks a lot about sexual immorality. Okay? We're not to see how close we can get to that without actually giving in to it. We're supposed to abstain from it. Okay? People do all kinds of things to try to get away with it instead of just saying, hey, sexual immorality is wrong. We need to abstain from it and wait until we're in a committed, godly marriage relationship before God and before men. And then that's when God says, hey, that's what this is here for. But before, we're to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against the soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So here's what I'm saying is that the Bible says that they may see your good deeds. Okay, we need to be people that do good and not evil. And even though they around us may not understand it, we need to do good whether anybody else wants to or not. Now he goes on in verse 13 to say, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who are doing right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." Okay? Sometimes people say, what's the will of God? Well, here's one place in the scripture where it tells you pretty succinctly, it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. You know, when people, you know, make statements like, well, all you Christians are a bunch of hypocrites and you're all just a bunch of conservative, Bible thumping, right wing, this and that. Those are just all names. Okay, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And even if they do, because sometimes they do hurt. Okay, you know, we need to just keep doing good. We need to love our neighbors and even love our enemies. as we would love ourselves, and so that by doing good, we'll silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. That's God's will for us. And so we need to submit to those in authority over us. One of the big problems that we're having in our country right now is people don't want to submit to anybody. They think that they're in charge of everything. And the way you hear people rant on the internet and rant on Facebook and rant on Twitter and Instagram and everything else, you'd think everybody rules the world. Well, that's not the case. God rules the world. And authority was put into existence by God so that there wouldn't be just chaos in the world. And so we need to submit ourselves to governing authorities, unless, of course, they're telling us to do something that God clearly says not to do. And then we have to obey God rather than men. Now, as we go on in verse 16, he says, "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor." Okay, so our lives need to be characterized by living in a way that honors God first, that honors authority around us, and we show love and respect to everyone. You can still show respect and love and honor and consideration to people even if you don't agree with them, okay? You can still be kind. You can still listen. You can still try to reason with people without calling them names or trying to beat them into the truth, okay? We're not to use our freedom as a cover-up for evil, but rather we're to live as if we belong to God, because that's exactly what we do. And so show proper respect to everyone. This is part of the behavior that goes along with the mindset of recognizing that we are God's people, okay? We're going to listen to our second song this morning. This is a song by David Meese called "We Are the Reason." And friends, I want you to know that when God asks us to live in a certain way, God has every right to do that because he's our God and he's our creator. And yet he's asking us to do that because he knows it's the best way to live. And the fact of the matter is that he loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. We're the reason that Jesus died on the cross. And so because of that, and for all that he's done for us and that he has showed us mercy, we need to make sure and realize that, hey, I want to live for him. Let's listen to David Meese sing "We Are the Reason."
As little children, we would dream of Christmas morn and all the gifts and toys we knew we'd find, but we never realized a baby born one blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our. As the years went by, we learned more about gifts, the giving of ourselves, and what that means. On a dark and cloudy day, a man hung crying in the rain because of love, because of we
All right, good morning. We're back again in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. 1 Peter 2 and verse 18. Peter goes on to say, "Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God." So this is interesting that Peter was even addressing those who were servants or slaves in some aspects, and they had masters and they had debts to pay off. And he's saying, hey, don't make that difficult for your master. He said, in fact, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. In other words, do what's right. Do what's acceptable and go over and above. You're not working for them anymore. You're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact of it is, in Colossians and Ephesians, that Paul had some words for masters as well. That the teaching of God wasn't just to slaves, but it was to all classes of people. And masters were to treat their slaves decently, and they were to commend them when they did good. But here, he's saying, listen, you're to submit yourselves not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Well, you know, again, in our country, we don't have that situation so much, but sometimes you have a boss or a supervisor that is harsh and you don't like him and everything else. Well, sometimes the best thing you can do is just to do an amazingly good job and bend over backward and do whatever they ask you to do and just show them that, hey, I'm doing this because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like in verse 19, it's commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. He bore up under the pain of unjust suffering. He shouldn't have had to have been crucified. It was our sins. We deserved it. But thank God for his love that Jesus suffered for us so that we didn't have to bear that penalty. But then he reminds them, that's the good part of it. Verse 20, he says, "But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." So here's the the good and the bad that we were talking about earlier. It's good to submit to your masters. It's good to do what's right and to bear up under unjust suffering if you have to do even that. But don't do things that you deserve punishment for. And if you're suffering for doing good, then you can endure it and it's commendable before God. But live in such a way that those that are not in Christ recognize that, hey, you're a different lot than everybody else. And frankly, that's what verse 21 ends it all up with. To this you are called because Christ suffered for you. Okay, so if Christ suffered for us, we ought to be willing to suffer for him and deal with unjust suffering and dealing with harsh masters and dealing with maybe not the best conditions. We need to follow in his steps. Hey friends, we're out of time this morning already, and so we're going to have to go. But please come visit us at the church at Las Vegas, 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday evening at 7. You can find us online at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, all one word. And you can learn more about us there. And Lord willing, until next week, please keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless you. Have a great week.